So we got up to Malachim Aleph, Perekud Ches. Before we continue, I just want to say a few words about Eliyahu Navi. So Eliyahu Navi, it says that at the end of his life, he went up, B'sa'ar HaShamayimu, he went up to the heavens. And he's going to come down before Mashiach comes to bring Israel b'tshuva, to cause him to do tshuva, to repent. And that's when Mashiach will come after that. Now the question is, why him? Like, what's Eliyahu Navi all about? Now, besides for him coming back before Mashiach comes, it says there's twice two separate events that Eliyahu comes as a guest. What are those events?
Bris
and Pesach. Very good. Exactly. What's the connection between Pesach and Bris?
And what?
A bris.
Oh, Bris.
What's the connection? What does one have to do with the other?
Well, they had to do that. That's what they had to do with Isha. Before they did, they made the korban, they had to have a bris.
Right.
They weren't, the people weren't until then. That's not what you're looking for.
Right. It's not, okay, I hear that. That is not what I'm looking for now. So, bris and korban Pesach are the two mitzvahs asay. There are other mitzvahs lois, I say, right? That a person, if he does them and he's not supposed to, then he gets kares, right? Kares means being cut off from Klal Yisrael. Part of your neshama gets cut off, whatever that means, depends on the avera. So there are plenty of mitzvahs lois that you're not allowed to do that you would get kares for. However, there are only two mitzvahs asay that you must do, and if you did not do them, two positive mitzvahs that if you did not do them, you get kares. What are those two mitzvahs? Korban Pesach and Bris. Right? Mm-hmm.
Alright.
What's so special about those mitzvahs? Why are those two the only mitzvahs asay that if you do not perform them, a person will get kares? Pshat is that see, if a husband does, you know, every Shabbos he brings his wife flowers, right? And one Shabbos, so he was busy at work, long day, he forgot. Hey, you forgot to bring flowers. Okay, Seder. So the wife will be upset, but it's not the end of the world, right? That's called a mitzvah asay, something you're supposed to do. However, if you forget, you know, all about her anniversary, that's a whole different story, right? Because that's, how could you forget about our anniversary? We celebrate that every year. We go to the Hamptons, wherever. That's our special time together, right? So that's much more serious. So too, Kares and Bris, Bris and Pesach are the two mitzvahs to say that are the covenant between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bris is a covenant between the individual person and Hashem. And Pesach is the national covenant of the Jews as a whole when they became a people and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When did we become a nation? When we left Mitzrayim. Korban Pesach, that's when we became His nation. That's building our covenant with Hashem. That's what forms our connection, that special connection. Bris is a connection on the individual level, and Pesach is a connection on the national level, Bnei Israel as a whole. And that's why Eliyahu Navi comes to those two bris, and because that's what Eliyahu Navi is all about. Eliyahu Navi is about connecting the Jewish people with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Like we're going to see over here later on, that's what he does. He's going to connect the Jewish people. He's going to cause them to do tshuva. He's going to connect them to Hashem. Right? And that's why Eliyahu Navi is going to be the one. That's why he went up to the heavens. And he has to be the one to come down and bring Klal Yisrael and be ma'ir them b'tshuva to cause them to repent, to do tshuva before Mashiach comes. Because he's the one who's going to bring the connection back between Klal Yisrael and Hashem. And therefore, that will allow Mashiach to come.
Didn't we learn something that he did wrong? And Hashem told him, why are you saying this? Ed? I'm going to make every time a bris, and every time you're going to have to go there. Didn't we learn something like that?
Yeah. That's another aspect.
But how was Korach related to the Pesach? What actually need to do to avoid Korach?
On Pesach?
Yeah.
Well, nowadays we don't have Korban Pesach.
But it means it's not proper for now time.
No.
It's even you eat bread, it's, it doesn't make a difference.
No. I think it's still an avera, but it's not karis.
It means seder, seder, it's not...
It's not karis. It's, yeah, I'm saying you're supposed, there are things that you're supposed to eat. Pesach, matzah, and maror, those are the three essential parts of Pesach. But if you didn't do them, then it's not karis.
Is the same for bris, or bris still makes sense?
What do you mean?
No, if parents did not do bris for kids.
So that's, the kid himself is supposed to do it when he grows up. When he's of age, he's got to do it for himself. Yeah. You're right, the obligation is on the father when it's still a baby, because obviously the baby has no control.
Who gets karet?
Who gets what?
Karet. Karet.
So that's a good question. It depends who the responsibility is on. If it's when it's still on the father, and the father didn't do it to the child, then it would be on the father. Once the child grows up and he didn't do it, then it would be on him. No, whoever's responsible.
Is exempt.
Yeah. Yeah. Whoever's responsible. Yeah.
No, but practically speaking, in that time, if boy was born, there's no bris, father was removed from congregation?
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, the karesness doesn't necessarily mean that you're removed from the congregation. There are plenty of people that are chayv kares, and we have no idea.
No, but
right?
How is practically...
Practically?
Yeah.
Okay, so practically speaking, the Gemara says that someone who's chayv kares is either going to die early, or his children are going to die in his life. He's going to watch his children die. But that's only the physical ramification of the punishment. The spiritual ramification of the punishment is way worse. It means that a person, chas v'shalom, is cut off his neshama, right? The way our neshama is built is our neshama is like a long tube all the way from our head all the way to the kisa kovod, right? To the throne of Hashem, right? It's like a long, long, long tube. Again, it's not like a tube, like whatever, just to bring it into our terms, right? So the very, very tip of the neshama gets into our head. The neshama is not in our whole body. The neshama is only in our head, right? That's the only part of our body that is the neshama.
You can't. There's no curse if somebody eats chametz after Pesach.
No,
that's left over.
No.
Because
right.
That's not the mitzvah is up on the time. That's when. You don't want to be part of it.
Right.
We'll take you away.
Yeah.
Give you a chance to pray. Give them the chance not to, you know, to have charata
right.
To come back. So you don't take them right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even after this sins, you're still part of the Jewish people?
So that's hard to tell. It depends on the severity of the avera. If an aver is really severe, then chas v'shalom, a person can be completely cut off. The whole neshama can be cut off from Klal Yisrael.
No, but this is historically, maybe that's famous philosopher, Spinoza.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, heard of him.
He was kind of removed from congregation. I don't know what the sequence of, because of his idea. Don't
that's more excommunication. That's nidui. That's something else, no?
No, I don't know why it's called. I don't know what's. I believe the same words. Maybe something else.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know much about Spinoza.
No, but who knows about Spinoza? We know only this case when he was young man, probably. Try to explain his own vision about relation with God also. It's not accepted by community.
Mm-hmm. So he was excommunicated.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, charis is something else. It's more of a spiritual...
It's almost like cherem.
No, cherem, yeah. No, cherem is more more like being excommunicated from...
No one have anything to do with it.
Is this two different words, cherem or cheres?
Cherem or what? Kares.
Kares and
two different things.
Two different things.
Cherem means being excommunicated from the community. Kares.
Kares.
Kares means
it's a spiritual.
It's a spiritual punishment, which is way worse.
I believe the same word, but this is a different word. It's more
strong,
Kares.
Yeah, Kares is on a spiritual level is definitely worse. A person necessarily doesn't get, like for example, if you compare that to someone who's a chayv mitzvah beis din, someone who gets the death penalty by a Jewish beis din, by a Jewish court. So in this world, right, their punishment seems very, very harsh, right? They get either a skila, stoning, chenek, being choked, or hereg, their head chopped off, or sreifa, which is they pour boiling hot lead down their throat, which none of them are pretty, right? Definitely.
It doesn't taste very good.
Definitely doesn't taste very good, that's for sure. So in this world, it seems like their punishment is very harsh. However, every single person who goes through such a punishment, now it was almost never happened, but if it did, even if it happened to them in this world, in the next world, they would get Olam Haba. They would have a part in the world to come. They would go into Gan Eden because they atoned for their sins in this world. Right. However, someone who's chayv kares and does not do tshuva will not have part in the world to come, which is a very scary thing.
He took himself out of it. He don't believe in it. That's
right.
That's what.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. You know, if he doesn't do these things because he doesn't believe in it, if you don't believe in it, it's not there.
Yeah. Right. You got people walking down the street and they look like regular, normal people like me and you. And they only have half of an neshama, a quarter of an neshama, you know, a little shriveled piece of an neshama, because most of the neshama is cut off because of what the averus they've done, which is a very scary thought. But so we have to be careful not to do averus that have kares, or if we did chas v'shalom to do tshuva.
Kares, this is only example of two positive mitzvahs. There is kares for something else.
Yes. Yeah. There's negative mitzvahs that you're not allowed to do, and if you do them, you're chayav kares. There's plenty of them. But there are only two positive mitzvahs that you would have kares. These are the only two. Bris milah, and Pesach. Okay?
Also, kares can mean 1 second. You die 1 second before you're supposed to. That's also kares. Doesn't mean you have to die 10, 15 years before you're supposed to.
Even if it's
just 1 second before the time, that's also called kares.
Nobody knows.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
This is makes sense, but if nobody knows what is your time.
Right. Again, it's a more spiritual punishment. It's not like you don't necessarily see it in this world. Okay. All right. So let's start Perek Yodal, Yudches. Excuse me. Okay. Perek Yudches, Pasuk Aleph. Ve'i Ramim Rabim, Udvar Hashem Hoyo El Elio, B'shan HaShlish Yisleimar, Leich Heroi El Achav Ve'et Namotar Al Pnei Ha'adama. So, many years later, and Hashem comes to Elio in the third year, to the famine, and he says, go over to Achav, and I will now bring rain over the land.
B'shan HaShlish.
Yeah, the third year.
Shlish is from when?
From the beginning of the famine.
So that's okay, but okay. It says Yomim Rabim, and then he says Shlosha, which is right. I mean, Yomim Rabim can mean 10 years, 15 years, 100.
Right. Yeah, Yomim Rabim is not specific.
Well, how come he says it's a long time, and then he says in the third year. Is there any difference in the time?
I don't think there's a difference, no. Yeah.
It seems to be extra. Telling you Yom Rabbim, and then he says in the third year.
Yeah, I hear. I don't know. I haven't seen anything about that. Good question. In any case, so a few things. First of all, there's a chazal that say that the beginning, we said that Hashem gave Elio the ability, so to speak, to stop the rain from coming.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And it was the klala, the curse that Elio himself cast, in order to stop the Geshem, because he felt that there shouldn't be rain. And we spoke about that at length. However, now that Elio brought the kid, the son of the woman that he was staying with, he brought him back to life. So now Hashem comes over to Elio and he says, there are three keys in the world that are in the hands of Hashem. One of them is the hands the key to rain. Second, is the key to
life.
To life, to bringing back Tchias HaMesim, right? Resurrection of the dead. And the third key is of bringing having babies born.
Baby, yeah.
Right? Now, I gave you one key, controlling the rain. Right? You got that key.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, I just gave you the second key.
There you go.
Right? Of bringing people back to life.
Right.
So you have two out of the three, buddy. You're in a pretty good position. Right? This is not fair, Hashem says. You got to give me back one of them. So now that I gave you the ability to bring the kid back to life, you need to now give me back the ability to control the rain. And therefore, Hashem says, now I'm going to take the key back.
I'm going to bring the water.
I'm going to bring the water because you now have the key to resurrect the dead.
But why so many days should come to make decision?
Sorry?
No, this started after many days. It looks as Hashem is thinking, he decided to take back one key.
Right.
not immediately.
Yeah. I don't know how soon it was after the whole episode with the child that he brought back the child. But it sounds like it was pretty close. It was a long time. It was
a lot of time.
A long time since the beginning of the famine. Remember, there was a whole period where there was no rain, but there was still water because
a lot of time after, not after death.
Since the beginning of the rain stopping. That's what we're counting here.
Okay.
Yeah. Since then. Now, the Malbim says something very interesting. He says that the reason why Hashem brought the rain back right now is because initially, Elio was the one who stopped all the Tzinoir Sashefa, the tubes or the streams of Shefa, of plenty, of bringing life into the world, right? When a person stops the rain, the rain is a source of life. Right, with no water, the whole world cannot go on. Right. So since Elio was he used his power to block to set up some kind of barricade over those tubes of plenty, those funnels of plenty that bring life into the world.
Was the rain just an average soil, or was the whole world was suffering?
It's a good question. It sounds like it was only in Eretz Yisrael, at least according to the Malbim, because he was saying that it's really something that Hashem himself stopped specifically for Klal Yisrael. Yeah, so it sounds like it was only in Israel. Only in Eretz Yisrael. Now, once Elio went ahead and he brought this kid, this child, back to life, what he's doing right now is the opposite of what he was doing until now. Until now, he was blocking those funnels of life, taking away life, right? Mm-hmm. And now he's now reopening those funnels, and he's bringing life
back again.
So now that he brought the child back to life, that brought that perforce brought all the forms of life back to the world, and that's why what Elio was doing until now was stopped. Because he now brought life back to the child, and that led, as a domino effect, that led to the life force coming back into the world, which is all the water.
Well, you see, he says here, bring rain, because a lot of these 7,000 Jews did tshuva.
Right. Yeah, so we're going to get there. We'll see what...
Since it started, now he says, okay... Now I can give it back because it worked.
Yeah. But we're going to see that the Malbim explains that what Hashem is doing now is he's trying to get Elio to go over to Ahav and to get him to do tshuva. Trying to convince Ahav to do tshuva. Again, because we're in a situation that once the sources of water dried up, then by nature there can't be any water anymore, because the water can't evaporate from nothing. It's got to come from some water source in the land. Once there's no more water source in the land, the water can't go up, can't evaporate and form clouds, and the clouds can't bring down rain, obviously. So now you need what's called rain that comes through Hashgacha, comes directly from Hashem Himself, because according to nature, there can't be any rain. It has to be rain that comes from Hashem Himself. And therefore, in order for that to happen, you need the Klal Yisrael need to do tshuva. Only if they did tshuva, then they'll merit to have rain from Hashem, special rain from Hashem.
It's mean not miracle, but natural way.
No, miracle rain, not natural.
But
naturally, there can't be any rain because all the water sources dried up. Where's the rain going to come from? It has to evaporate from somewhere. The clouds have to be formed from some vapor.
From the ocean.
Yeah, right.
The thing is, rain doesn't come from the sky. Rain comes from the water from down here. It goes up and it comes back.
Well, the winds blow. The winds blow in the opposite, the wrong direction.
The world, what does it say?
Right.
No, but the spirit floated around the water. Where did the water come from?
It
didn't come from there. There was no sky yet. Hashem didn't even make the sky yet. He didn't split it up. It was the water. Water came. Water was before.
Mm-hmm.
Without this water, there wouldn't be no rain.
Right.
It's not here. You have water here. Even though it does say He split the heavens from the bottom and the front, the water from the front, and the water on the bottom. It says that there too. But it seems the water from above doesn't come down. Only the water from below goes up and comes back down as rain.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Open a faucet, you get plenty of water.
No, but this water cannot disappear. It's part of creation. This one is there, he created it.
Right. Point is that there's two types of rain. There's the right type of rain that naturally can't happen, right? Naturally, say for example, naturally it's not supposed to rain in Israel at all, right? Any time it rains in Israel is, you know, somewhat of a miracle. Israel is mostly a desert, but so that depends on the way Klal Yisrael are behaving. If they behave in the way where they deserve rain, then rain will come. If not, then no. That's what it says in Shema that we read three times a day. Okay. So, Pasuk Beis, Vayelech Eliyahu Leheirois El Achav. Eliyahu goes over to show himself to Achav, Leheirois El Achav.
He was afraid to go.
Ve'arav Chazak B'Shomrei. So now there are three reasons that it will be a very special time for Klal Yisrael to do tshuva. It will be very easy for them to do tshuva. First of all, Ve'arav Chazak B'Shomrei. The famine is very strong. And they're gonna do tshuva because they're desperate, right? They don't want to die. They want to be able to live. Second reason is what we're gonna see in Pasuk Gimel. Veikra Achav el avidyo asher labais veavidyo hayoray es Hashem meoid. Achav calls avidyo. He was another very righteous person, and he's gonna tell him to go and look for water. And so the second reason that it'll be very easy for Bnei Yisrael to do tshuva is because Achav realized himself that they're in a pretty tight situation and Jewish people are pretty desperate. So what does he do? He calls Oved Yahu, who was Yorei Es Hashem Moed, a very righteous person. And he calls Eliyahu to ask for his advice. And now, the reason why Hashem orchestrated the events in a way where Avidyo will be the one in charge over the household of Achav is specifically for this person, because it would be in the schus of Avidyahu that Achav will be awakened to do tshuva. And Avidyo himself, as we're going to see in a minute, he had a very special schus. What did Avidyo do? Pasuk Dal, Vehi Be'achris Yizevel Sneviyeh Hashem. When Izebel, the wife of Achav, when she went ahead and she cut off all the Nevi'im of Hashem, Ve'ikach Avidyo me'a Nevi'im ve'echbi'im chamishim ish b'ma'ora, chilkolam lechem v'moim. Right, Avidyo took 100 Nevi'im, you hid 50 in you had 50 in one cave, and you had 50 in another cave, and you provided them with bread and water. And that water was a very precious commodity at that time. Keep in mind, there was no water at all in the land. So now, this is the third reason why it will be very easy for Bnei Israel to do tshuva, is because this was something that was a real merit of Obadiah. Obadiah had a very special merit, because he was the one who provided water to the Nevi Hashem, to the true Nevi. And so now it would be a big chus for him, for Obadiah himself, to be the one to bring forth water again. Very similar, the Malbim points out, it's very similar to the story of Nechunya Chofer Sichin. The Gemara talks about Nechunya Chofer Sichin. He was a very special man. He realized that all the people, when they came to the Beis HaMikdash, to the temple, during the Shtei Shavuot Regalim, Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos, they had a challenge. There was no water on the way. They didn't have a rest stop every 2-3 miles, right? There wasn't a gas station with a Starbucks and a McDonald's and a Burger King, right? Even if it wasn't kosher, right? So they had a really big challenge: where to get water for the Jewish people that were traveling up to Yerushalayim. So Nechunya, he took initiative, and he decided to go ahead and he bought all the water wells from all the people that owned them on the way to Yerushalayim, and he opened them up to anyone, for the people, anyone who was coming to Yerushalayim to the Beis HaMikdash, for the Yontif. He would say, come, take as much water as you want, it's all yours. And that was a big reason for more and more Jews to go up to Yerushalayim. It happened later on that his daughter fell into one of these wells, and people were very worried about her, she was going to drown. But the Gemara says that Nechunya Chofer Sichin says Davar Shenitzar by Ois Tzadik, something that the Tzadik himself, that was his merit. He was the one who brought these water wells and he opened them up to the public, to the Jewish people that were going up to Yerushalayim. That's going to be his downfall? Obviously not. And there was a miracle that happened and she managed to come out and she was fine. She was okay. So the point is that something that's his merit is not going to be his downfall. Right, something that was this special merit for him, for Nechunya Chofer Sichin, that wouldn't be a cause for his daughter to die. So too over here, Obadiah, he was the one who took initiative. He hid 100 Nevim, risking his life because Izebel decided to kill out all the Nevim, and he risked his life to hide 100 of them, and he supplied them with food, with bread and water, and so obviously that's going to be a reason for him, a very it's going to be a merit for him because he took water that was a very precious commodity and he gave it to the Nevim. That would be a reason that through him specifically, there will be renewal of water, the supply of water to the Jewish people. That's what has to be specifically by Obadiah. Okay, let's continue. Pasuk Hei. Achav goes over to Obadiah and he tells him, go search the land to all the water sources. Right? So all of a sudden they're all worried about the animals.
What about the people?
Yeah, what about the people, huh?
He's worried. Maybe we could find them. How about some people? But
exactly.
About the animals.
The heck with the people.
It's like, yeah, we're thirsty, but at least the horses will have food to eat and water to drink. You know? It's all about the horses.
We'll not lose all our beasts. Oh, you lose your life.
So there's a message that says,
you got to feed your animals before you feed yourself.
Huh?
Yeah, but there's a concept that if two people are walking in the desert,
that's
right?
When you gotta, that's when
you only have one bottle of water.
For both.
What do you do?
You gotta save yourself.
You gotta save yourself, right? So if there's no water to drink, right, there's a famine, then you don't go worrying about the animals. Worry about yourself first.
If you got food, you feed your animal first.
Yeah, if there's plenty of food, then yeah, you feed your animal first, right?
But you feed your animal.
You couldn't go horseback riding if you didn't have a horse. If his horse died.
That is true. It's true. But still, I would say it would probably be a smart move to feed yourself first. So there, there's a matter.
It seems like just like the Jews when they went out of Egypt, they right away they're complaining they have no water. And they, what do they say? And our animals will die. I mean, what about you? They're always right away. They're worried about the animals already.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Yeah. So the matter says that when the time comes that the human beings are not deserving of rain, then Hashem brings rain
for
the animals.
Well, I could have said that.
Why? Because a human being who has free choice, he depends on his actions. If he does good actions and he deserves rain, then Hashem will bring him more rain. If he deserves a punishment, he doesn't deserve rain, then he won't get any rain. Right? So it depends on his actions. If you deserve it, you'll get it. You don't deserve it, you won't get it. Well, however, animals, there's a bris, there's a special covenant between the animals and Hashem. Hashem promised the animals that their species will not be extinct. And therefore, Hashem has an obligation, so to speak, no matter what happens, to provide food for at least the animals. And once there's rain coming into the world for the animals, then the rain comes for the human beings as well. And Achav, even though he was a big Rashi, he understood this. And that's why he's telling Obadiah, let's go look for animals, and through them we'll bring rain into the world, into Eretz Yisrael. Yeah. That's why it says, V'loi nachris ma'behema, because the behema is not supposed to be extinct. The animals are not allowed to be extinct, because they have a special covenant with Hashem, and therefore, if it'll come for them, it'll come for us as well. So what do they do? V'yachlaku lehem es'aretz la'avar bo. They divide, Achav and Avidyo divide the land in two. Excuse me. Achav holach b'derech echad levadoi, v'Avidyo holach b'derech echad levadoi. The reason why the pasuk is spelling out exactly, oh, he went this way and he went the other way. Thank you very much. I couldn't figure that out on my own. So the pasuk is the reason why the pasuk is specifying that is because it's pointing out that even after all of that, after the famine, after Achav himself realized that, you know, he's got to do tshuva, but still, right, Avidyo, who's a righteous person, went one way, more on the spiritual level, and Achav went the other way, meaning he kept on going in the same direction. He didn't go the same direction as Avidyo. Avidyo was a righteous person, went one way, and Achav was a rasha, went the other way.
Now, what did he think? That there was no rain? So what? He knew. He didn't believe that God did this. That he did this. So, I mean, what could he be thinking? What could a person be like that think? That everything happens and they don't have any sudden everything else. Why did it happen all of a sudden? Well, what could he be thinking?
No, he knew that it happened.
You don't believe it. What's going to happen without the food and everything else? What is he supposed to do? He keeps on doing the same thing he's been doing. For how long? Till the food runs out.
Right.
It's running out. It's not. There's nothing.
But Achav is a king.
Yes, Achav was the king.
But he didn't. He found one person, but did not find another one to go. Why he went by himself?
Well, he went with Avidyo, but and he realized that Avidyo was a righteous person. That's why he wanted to take him.
But there is, we split countries. One man, one side.
Are you saying why Achav went by himself?
Yeah, he can find another man to do it. It's not king's business.
You're right. That's a good question. No way he had to look for it himself.
Maybe it's a kind of tshuva, personal.
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know. I don't know why he did it himself. Sounds like he was a pretty hands-on king. We're going to see later on. He wanted to deal with the matters himself. Okay. Okay, so you know, we'll stop here. We'll stop here and we'll see how this whole encounter between Achav, between Elio and Avadio, how that impacts the reign. Okay, we'll stop here and we'll continue next week.